Mini episode 748 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here with a quick preface to this mini-episode. The caveat is Romo's gonna Romo. Obviously, you now know what happened. Tony Romo couldn't even stay healthy long enough to keep our NFC East preview from being somewhat dated without getting hurt. So, yes, this was put in the can just before his injury. Sorry about that. And enjoy the rest of the breakdown from Kyle Ross and myself. All right, everybody, welcome back to the FDH Lounge 2016 Divisional Previews. We are going through every division in the NFL. We're stopping on the NFC East today. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, your favorite football talking FDH Lounge dignitaries in all the land, coming at you. The NFC East, it's the favorite of ESPN and all the media types out there to love to overhype it. OMG, best football anywhere. Well, no, media markets and Dallas, America's team. That's what that's all about. So we get the disproportionate hype down our throats year after year. And not to say that it won't be an interesting mix again this year, but I think in a mediocre kind of a way, as it has generally been the last couple of years. Kyle, what say you?
What say you?
Yes.
By the way, it's always lovely to be in the FDH Lounge.
Yes,
thank you for having me again.
Pleasure's all mine, my friend.
How many years in a row have you been doing that spiel with the NFC East? Oh, ESPN loves this division.
I think all 5 years.
Yes. You really love that one.
Yes.
And truth be told, they do love this division.
They
and
do.
Truth be told, it's not very good, is it?
Nope. It is not.
Other than the Giants' two miracle Super Bowl runs, When was the last time this division really had a legit Super Bowl contender? The Eagles in their heyday, the height of the McNabb-Reed era?
First half of the last decade, yeah, absolutely. That sort of culminated, peaked in that Super Bowl, fell off from there. Well, think about it. Dallas hasn't done bupkis. The Giants.
Well, they had the 1 year 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They were 12-4. They were a pretty good team.
One sporadic year, yeah.
Well, this is a division that has seen the most turnover from year to year.
It has.
At least since the height of that Philly Reed McNabb thing that
yeah.
they had going on. It's almost a different division winner every year.
Well, this
Hasn't
is
it been? I mean,
this
I,
is Pete Rozelle's favorite division. It's an 8-8 league, right? And this division epitomizes it. More to follow on that, by the way, when we get to the records subsequently.
Yes. I mean, there hasn't been a dot. Well, Dallas did go 12, and we need to say that. They did go 12-4 2 years ago. Has every team won this division in the last 5 years? Let me take. We know Washington, and we're going to talk about them first.
Head.
Washington won it last year. Dallas won it 2 years ago.
When the Giants made the Super Bowl, were they a wild card at 9-7 or a division winner?
I think they were a wild card in 07, and I think they were a horrible division winner.
Division
in 2010.
Well, 2011 is when
Philly
they won,
won it in 2013.
Yeah.
Chip Kelly's first year, by the way.
Yeah.
2012 was, this is real interesting radio, isn't it? It was actually Washington again. Oh, that was RG3's rookie year,
yeah.
of course. 2011. So the Giants are actually the longest drought. That's very interesting. Actually, the Giants were 2011.
Yeah.
So believe it or not, Washington is the team, is the one with two championships
but
since 2011.
That's
not
the thing, though. In a division that's...
That's the only division where that's happened, right?
Right. But in a division that's as mediocre as this one has been for as long as it has been, just missing out on winning the division for a couple of years feels like a lifetime. Doesn't it feel a lot longer between the RG3 division win and last year for the Redskins? It felt like there was 8 years in between rather than, what, three?
Well, yeah, it was a different quarterback, different
yeah,
coach.
So much that had happened. Just so much drama that had gone on in the time in between. But again, you and I were talking about this off air.
It is. This is the only division where that's
Scott
happened.
McClown as general manager, a guy who was instrumental in helping to stock up both San Francisco and Seattle in their heyday of building up earlier this decade, for Dan Snyder to hire him away, give him the checkbook, but then completely butt out. That has given hope to every team in every sport, every fan base, I should say. If you got a bad owner, but he's got a lot of money and he meddles, you're always just one great GM hire away from getting it right, if the owner can keep his paws off. And so long as Dan Snyder abides by that, signs the checks, keeps them at the upper echelon, keeps the Redskins where they need to be in that regard, but lets Scott McClown make the decisions he needs to make, they're a team that's on the rise. Now, again, as far as this year goes, we're primarily, of course, looking at 2016. I just see them taking a step backwards because
all the signs point that way.
Not even that. I still think they're the best team in the division. I think they have the best balance on both sides of the ball, to be sure. But, again, this is a league, we always say this. There's never any more than, seven or maybe eight teams at the most that repeat the next year. So it's always
the playoff. Let's be clear.
In the playoffs,
that is
yes.
True. Since they realigned the – and this would have been
– 02, right?
No. This goes back to when they went to the six-team playoff format in the early 90s.
Okay.
There has never been a year where there's been more – when there's been more than eight return playoff teams. That's the high watermark. And I think the low is four.
So you start looking at it, and that's how I do it every year. What's the lowest hanging fruit? And it has to be Washington. Yeah, when you look at who's the lower hanging fruit, Washington or Seattle, Washington or New England, you know what I'm talking about here. So it's a thing where if a certain number of teams are not going to make it, you got to put Washington in that bin. I'm going to put them at 8-8, and what I'm going to do, spoiler alert, I have the division winner also being at 8-8. This is kind of a gutless thing that I do from year to year as far as...
It is pretty gutless.
It is, but basically putting the team I think is the best team at the same record as whoever wins the division, because it always comes down to the grid at the end of the season, the tiebreaker. And the only thing that seems absolutely ironclad in the NFL year after year, it seems like the first tiebreaker is less deserving team makes the playoffs. There will never be a better example of that than Botch Davis's Browns in 02 making it over Bill Belichick's Patriots. The only time in 4 years they didn't win the Super Bowl, Botch wins the tiebreaker. That's like the poster child for how the NFL handles its business. Washington, the best team, but they will be bested by another team at 8-8 yet to be discussed.
I'm not sure if I'm willing to say that Washington's the best team.
Okay.
I'll say that if you view these teams as stocks, they're the one and you're buying over a multi-year period.
Mm-hmm.
They're the one I'd be most willing to buy of the four in this division.
Oh, yeah. If you're a Redskins fan, the next several years look really good. I don't think
this is one of them. You've got to remember, in the NFL, it's a short window. I wouldn't extend it too far.
But I'm just projecting on the player personnel acquisitions they're likely to keep making. Those are the things that you can project.
Well,
if a guy has a good track record, you can expect them to keep having a good track record.
Well, let's talk a few reasons why they're likely to regress,
okay,
shall we? Won the division last year at only 9-7,
yeah,
plus 9-point differential. They mm-hmm. won their final four regular season games to kind of come in through the back door. Remember, it wasn't until really those last 2 weeks or so people were like, they're going to do this. The Giants fell apart.
Right.
Dallas was injury riddled from the start. The Eagles quit on Chip Kelly. So I believe they actually did clinch with a week to spare, but it was one of those things where everyone's like, the Redskins are going to win this division?
Right.
And what happened during that time? Kirk Cousins got really hot, and he's a big question mark coming into 2016, in my opinion. I do not think he duplicates last year, and you talk about the smart front office.
Mm-hmm.
They handled him well. He may not like it, his family may not like it, but they know it's great to keep the price of that quarterback, what you're paying the quarterback down. I think they handled it well.
Well,
and this is a big year for Cousins, because we've seen, yes, it's very important to have above replacement level play at that mm-hmm. position. It's required if you're going
right.
to go anywhere. But we've seen a lot of teams that sink a lot of foolish money into it as well.
Something that makes me feel old to make this thing that I'm pointing out, this observation, I just realized this now. You talk about a career year from him, and when I start flashing through my mind thinking about career years for quarterbacks, do you realize, this is spooky, 25 years to the year of the big Mark Rippon season in Washington.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's, And he wasn't on – very few quarterbacks have ever been on the ripping 91 level. And that was the thing. And I actually just – again, I happened to be living in Northern Virginia that year. I just for a brief period of time was in Northern Virginia and got to see them
that.
On TV.
Did I know that, you live in Northern Virginia?
I don't know. No, I don't think you did. But it was I lived there briefly during that season. I was hoping to go to the Browns were actually playing at Washington that year. But even back then, scalper prices could be a little bit prohibitive. But, yeah, it was I watched that season, and the ability to just – I've never seen somebody just throw the ball as hard as he can and whip it way 50, 60 yards downfield, and it's right on the numbers to somebody at the other end. And it's just absolutely amazing. Kirk Cousins was not, again, on the level of ripping 91. I just thought it was a weird thing when I made the connection in my mind exactly 25 years. But it does lead you to – well, if you think about it, too, Joe Gibbs won the Super Bowl with three different quarterbacks. A brief late-career resurgence for good old Joe Theismann. It was Doug Williams slash Jay Schrader in 87. So Washington – they've had a revolving door there. It actually mirrors the sort of political revolving door between elective office and K Street here, as it were. You see that with a revolving door of quarterbacks. You're right to be skeptical of Kirk Cousins. He may be the latest among them to kind of take a step back. And I think we all, if we're not everybody out there is the keen student of the odds that I am, but when I look at the law of averages, that's the thing I go by the most. And it does say, yes, he should take a step backwards. I don't think in my mind, Kyle, it's a prohibitive step backwards, because I think he has made some improvements that'll stick.
Yeah, I don't think it's a massive step back, but it's right. Going to be a step back. They did jump from four wins in 2014 to nine last year.
Yeah.
Plexiglass principle usually comes into effect.
Right.
When you see a jump like that, usually a team doesn't improve again the following year. It has happened. Mm-hmm. In some instances, the Matt Stafford Lions, when they were starting at the very bottom with zero wins, comes to mind. But so you think that they're going to probably win less than nine. I know you said eight. I've got them at seven.
Ooh, okay.
The schedule, you and I talked about this at the end of last year. Remember we talked about that going to that playoff game they had against Green Bay, which they lost?
Yeah.
You had came up with a metric to determine strength of schedule.
That's right.
I remember.
That's right.
And your metric basically said, yeah, of all the playoff teams, they had one of the weaker schedules. It was kind of them and Carolina. We both
I'm going to pull that up here and see. Yeah.
So, well, Football Outsiders agrees with you. They had, according to adjusted, you know, their average opponent thing, they played the 25th rated schedule last year.
25th, okay.
This year that jumps to 9th because they're playing a first place schedule. Remember, in the NFC, that's pretty tough because you're looking at Arizona, you're looking at Carolina,
right?
You're looking at Minnesota, who may take a step back as well. But, you know, the schedule's a lot tougher this year. I think Cousins takes a step back. So I've got Washington 7-9.
Well, what I will say is, and I just pulled this up here, this is, and you can find this metric on the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine, the same place you find the show, the fdhlounge.blogspot.com. But, yes, going back to, and this was posted back in January at the end of the season, Washington ranked 30th on our list of teams as far as impressiveness of their victories. And all that is based on
impressiveness of victories,
yes,
is what you
because
did. That's kind of a strength of schedule metric,
kind
though.
Kind of, yeah. I'm sorry, I misspoke. This is the straight strength of schedule simply based on I took the final power rankings for the year and added up. Like, if you played the first place team in the league, you got 1 point for that. If you played the worst team in the league, you got 32 points for that. So you want to have the lowest number possible if you want to have impressive strength of schedule. Their number was 301, which was 29th, I should say, in the league. They were 29th on that. Now, on the impressiveness of victories index, which is 50% strength of schedule, 50% how many games did you actually win, and I weighted that out evenly, they come in marginally better, 26th. So when you look at, again,
still, it's down there. There's no doubt. And remember, they were playing a last-place schedule last year because they were coming off the 4-12 season.
I'll give you this. Most years, I scoff when people want to make a big thing about, oh, strength of schedule, because you're playing 14 of the same 16 games. However,
13.
No, 14, because you're playing in the entire division. in there. One of the other divisions, you're playing everybody.
You're right. I'm sorry.
So it's,
I'm sorry. I thought I was smart and I look like an ass. You're right. I'm wrong.
But
that was dumb.
They've got – they're the only team in the division that's got the murderer's row of Carolina, Green Bay, and Arizona, because they were the divisional winners.
No, Minnesota, remember, won the North. I know a lot of people.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I just undermined my own point.
Oh, well, I think you're smart now.
Yeah, I'd rather play Minnesota than Green Bay. I take my point back.
Well, here's the thing. They also played.
We're both having a lot of – we're having more botches than the typical Seth Rollins match.
Yeah, no, we're struggling here. The schedule is not – I mean, just to kind of bring up some names, they have to go to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
They still play Green. So here's the thing: they actually wind up hosting both Minnesota and Green Bay.
So they still got Green Bay
because they're playing the North.
Then they are playing all three.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
And then, well, they're not playing Seattle. Seattle's not on the schedule.
Okay.
Because Arizona was the division winner. But they have to go at Baltimore.
They're playing Carolina then too.
Yes, they get that at home though. They are getting some of those games at home, but still, you know, they play the AFC North out of division. Which means that's three tough games. I mean, you get Cleveland, but it's three other tough ones. Interesting.
Cleveland?
Interesting. You said eight. I said seven.
Yeah.
Vegas has the win total currently at 7.5. Juice is on the under at -122. So this is not one I would bet.
It's rare seven that and you a half, and I are that far off of Vegas.
Yeah, yeah. This is not one I would bet. It is probably going to be 7-8 wins. It's a minor regression for the Redskins, which I think kind of reflects your point at the beginning that – you know, this team is probably still in a good place long-term, but the bottom line is short-term, it's a step back.
If we were a brokerage and we were being asked about them, I would say sell short-term, buy medium-term. Mm-hmm. I like the Redskins for 2017, 2018,
I would expect them to
beyond.
Bounce back. The key here is I've got two teams in this division improving pretty markedly.
We got one team tanking, and I think that's probably what we want to go to next from what you had indicated.
Yeah, let's get them out of the way.
That would be Philadelphia.
You talk about team where it's rare that our win projection is off a lot from Vegas. This is one of my biggest.
Okay,
coming up here.
Well, and I think I may be also too. I have to say, because I'm taking the win totals out of Fantasy Football Draftology 2016. By the way, you can find that on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com. And for whatever reason, I don't know what I was thinking. Because yes, I was in charge of doing the predictions for this year for the NFL. I got them at 7-9, and I'm just really
I'm wondering.
You know what I think it is, because that's probably
that's
the
where they finished last year.
Yeah, and I was. Here's the thing. I think I made a mistake, but I'm going to stand by my mistake and hope that I was right about it. When I did Pro Football Draftology, when I did the predictions in that back in the spring, the guide that we put out around the time of the NFL draft, I don't think it had hit me yet as much. The kind of disastrous offseason that they had had. And I look at it now.
You know, even before the Lane Johnson suspension that's coming, and it could be like 10 games, I did not like this team.
Yeah, well, and again, go out there to YouTube, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. You will find the sharpest, most biting and incisive commentary you'll find for any single team. Just, I'm not even going to give you the entire name. EDP Eagles. Just run a YouTube search on that. Mr. EDP, with his just outrage about all things Eagles and the things that have been going wrong the last couple of years. And my good friend Joe Stazak, a longtime Philly TV sportscaster and radio talk show host, I've been on his radio show a few times with him.
What does he think?
He points out, and this is the kind of stuff I think you look at, Kyle. So you're gonna be impressed by this point that he made. Doug Peterson, who they hired as coach, and I understand there's a specific kind of a thing there in terms of they're looking to get back to the Andy Reid era. He's a guy who absorbed it firsthand, whatever. But no other team kicked the tires on him as a head coach. When you're out there, and you're basically saying we're right and the rest of the world's wrong, because 9 times out of 10, the guys that are the leading candidates out there are the leading candidates for a reason. And they went with a guy that nobody else even cared to talk about. Odds-wise, Joe's right in my estimation. That's not good odds. That's saying Jeffrey Lurie is going to get it right where everybody got it wrong?
My issue isn't so much the coach as it is just the roster.
I
mean, who do you want on this team?
Well, Chip Kelly destroyed it.
Well, yeah, and, you know, let's be clear with Chip Kelly. I don't think he's a horrible head coach. I don't think he forgot how to coach just because he went to a different level. I think he was a terrible general manager, and he left this roster in shambles. The quarterback situation, I don't like the dynamic at all heading into this year, where Bradford is in a, how shall we say, unique position. It's almost a position that, you know, here in Cleveland, that Derek Anderson was in.
Yeah, with Brady Quinn.
Where they almost don't want Bradford to succeed because they don't want to pay him. They've already got the heir apparent signed who's, you know, being redshirted, essentially, his rookie year, Carson Wentz. Even worse for Bradford is they brought in as a backup, I'm drawing a blank now on him, from Kansas City.
Case Keenum.
No, it wasn't Case.
It was Chase Daniel.
Chase Daniel. Thank
I knew
you
I'd get
much.
It with one of these guys.
Yes.
My next
Chase
guess
Daniel.
Was Len Dawson.
And I think, very good. I think, going back to the coach, Peterson, he may have a quick trigger finger to put his guy Daniel in. Remember, there were times last year I was actually calling for Chase Daniel to start over Alex Smith.
He might.
Oops.
Well,
but I just think that this roster's in shambles. And this is my doomsday pick for the year. Every year, I was the Browns last year. Remember that, Ricky? I said they'd win three games. People were like, oh, you're being way too negative. Vegas says 7.5. They do not want to come off that number for some reason. It is monster juice on the under. Minus 211? I've never seen juice that high.
Vegas is stupider than I am. It was saying 7-9. They're even worse.
I think this is giving away money. I've got them at 3 wins, a possible worst team in the league.
So
and what's so bad? Remember, they traded up all that. They lose all the draft capital with the Browns.
Yep.
This is not – we talk about the Redskins maybe sell short-term, buy long-term. This is a program that I am not interested in buying at all.
You're right about that. And when you look at – again, I'm not going to compare this because really nothing these days is on the level of the Herschel Walker trade. But it's a thing where you remember how much that set back Minnesota in the early 90s having to pay that kind of a price. And it's a thing here with the Browns. They're looking at now having two top 10 draft picks.
Oh, I think they're going to be both top five. I'm really optimistic how that works out. Yeah. I think it could be two top three picks.
Could be.
Judging by my records.
Could very well be. I would agree with that.
Going back to the mediocrity that resides in this division,
No
team was actually higher than 20th in terms of yards per game differential last year. You'll be interested to know which one was the highest at 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Redskins were only 23rd, so that again speaks to maybe how they were a little overachieving. Eagles 26th. They were outgained on average by 37.2 yards per game. Only outgained 4 of 16 opponents. They were 22nd in DVOA. So they should probably feel kind of fortunate they even went 7-9 last year. With a first-year coach and a bad roster, I think the bottom drops out.
I will say this, from a fantasy perspective, I'm going way, 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 way out on a limb here with this one. But I touted him as a potential breakthrough guy in Tennessee. I'm going to stay with it here. Doriel Green Beckham. They've been looking for a guy who can fit that system, who can really get her done. That's a guy that, again, I don't think it's not nearly enough to rescue this offense, but if you're looking for a deep sleeper guy who could go for 1,000 yards, there's your guy. So
point differential minus 53. That's a little bit below a 7-win pace. It like works out to 6.7 wins. So
okay.
That's not that big of a difference. But I just think that the Eagles, this is not a team I like at all.
No.
I feel I'm colder on them than anybody. So
neither of us does. One of the things that is
so you hate your so just
I
because you're
7-9,
just because you're a strict constructionalist
guy,
you refuse to change your pick.
Yes, and you know I was watching a little bit of stuff earlier. back from the 87 Bork hearings, and so I'm gonna stay with that out of deference to the late great Robert Bork.
You know, it's funny, you know, I didn't ever actually get a chance to talk about a macro NFC discussion at the top of this because you started railing against ESPN in like 2.5 seconds.
Okay,
the AFC, we had a few teams we were differing on. Pardon me, you know, you liked Oakland more, I liked San Diego more in the West, for instance, but I think we were in agreement that the win distribution would be fairly tight in that conference, with a few exceptions. I think we had the majority of the teams kind of winning between 6 and 10 games.
It's more of a bell curve in the NFC, is it not?
I prefer to refer it as a metaphor of Rick Morris's America, the haves and have-nots, which is, you know, the way you like it. So, yeah, and the Eagles are definitely have-nots.
Well, it's up to organizations like the Eagles to get off their lazy behinds and pull themselves up by the bootstraps, Kyle Ross. So we go from there.
That is nauseating.
We go
just like Jerry Jones did, right? As we
yes.
move to America's team.
Yes, Jerry Jones, and to the team that completely by default is the team I'm picking to win this division. And that's how it kind of tends to, like, every year, whoever I pick to win the NFC East is by default. It really sort of is that. They get Romo coming back, and I will tell
you,
they
get a lot of people coming back. This team was killed by injuries last year. There are
some
significant metrics that suggest improvement is on the horizon.
They were. There's something I want to get into that had been discussed during the offseason with a guest on the program here. I'm the kind of guy, with football, I like to get into some of these sort of deep nerding out philosophical concepts about it. And had a friendly disagreement on the show with a very learned individual, former NFL player, great businessman, N.D. Kalu. He and I did not agree on this. I don't know whose side you come down closer to. He looks at the fact that even an old, washed up Darren McFadden was able to get 1,000 yards behind that line last year. So he thinks it's wasteful that they took Ezekiel Elliott
yes,
in the draft.
Yes, I agree with that.
I do not agree, and I'll tell you why.
Because you're an Ohio State homer.
That has nothing to do with it.
No, it doesn't.
That has absolutely nothing to do with it. I look at it, and again, a trend that I've been talking about for years that I think long-term is happening, I think we are returning in the league with Gurley, with Elliott, with Leonard Fournette next year. I think the bell cow is kind of coming back. But if you have a legitimate three-down bell cow, you saw what Ezekiel Elliott could do at Ohio State, particularly in that stretch in late 2014 where the downfield passing game was really firing and they couldn't afford to jam up the hole on him. I look at it, you put Ezekiel Elliott behind the best line in the league and maybe the best line in the league by a wide amount, he could go for 2,000 as a rookie. If Ezekiel Elliott gets 2,000 yards this year, I wouldn't blink.
That's really strong. Look,
I wouldn't blink. It's a weaponized running situation, the likes of which we never see, Kyle.
Okay. There's a very good chance he'll be the offensive rookie of the year.
I'll give you that.
A very good chance. 2,000 yards is
2,000.
A little.
I'm saying it. I think he's at least 50-50 for 2,000 yards, Kyle. I'm planting my flag.
Okay. I'm going to steal from Football Outsiders here.
Okay.
This is really interesting. The 2015 Cowboys were only the fourth, fifth, ninth team since 1990
okay.
to have their number one quarterback and number one receiver play less than 10 games.
Okay.
Because remember, Dez Bryant missed a lot of time last year, too, not just the great Tony Romo. And I
right.
preface the great Tony Romo.
Yeah, that's your words.
Okay. The previous seven teams to do it, because Baltimore also did it last mm-hmm. year. Baltimore missed Joe Flacco and Steve Smith. So there's only been seven
right.
previous examples of having those. Previous seven teams have improved their win total by an average of 2.6 over
okay.
the next year. So there's a nat. Obviously, getting Tony Romo and Dez Bryant back, they're going to win more in four games. They also dropped from 12 wins in 2014 to four last year.
Right.
So that's another indicator that a bounce backs up. They were 2-6 in close games last year. That's games decided by 8 points plus. That suggests a bounce back.
Okay.
Vegas is anticipating a bounce back. Now, obviously, the Cowboys are a popular team. They get some mouth breather money. Your
yes.
term, not mine.
My term.
So, Pinnacle, which I'm using for all of these odds today, not saying you should go buy it. Go open an account there. I'm just saying that's the one I have up there.
Okay.
9.5. They have.
I got them winning the division at 8 wins.
Okay. I've got them not winning the division.
Mm-hmm.
Do-do-do-do. I guess that gives it away.
Okay.
To the team we haven't talked about. But I have them at 9 wins. So I actually kind of have a little bit more faith in this division than you do. Well, no, I hate the Eagles a lot more. So
yeah.
You've got everyone packed in probably pretty neat.
I do. Packed in like
I'm
sardines.
Going with my, you know, haves, have-nots theme for the NFC. That even applies to this division. Heavy juice, not heavy juice, but moderate juice on the under 9.5, minus 144. So I like that pick of 9. I wouldn't recommend betting it with just the half-game difference.
Okay.
But, you know, their Pythagorean wins was 5.2 last year. They only won 4 games. If there's, you know, 16-game small sample size, if you
yeah.
have a in the NFL, if you have a difference of more than 1 with actual Pythagorean wins.
Or the diff, as they call it on the scoreboard of
yes.
the Q.
You're typically going to have an uptick the following year. So all the metrics suggest Dallas wins more games. I don't think there's a single person who thinks Dallas is going to go 4-12 again this year. So, yeah, big improvement, 9-7. I've got them as a wild card.
A wild card. Okay, well, by process.
Another thing, too, is their defense, which I thought was a little bit better than this, but DVOA, Football Outsiders stat, only had them at 31st. Defense tends to fluctuate more than offense, although you'd obviously expect their offense to also make a quantum leap from 27th when they had some really horrible quarterback play.
Right.
Romo went down.
Yeah. So that leaves the team we haven't talked about in this division here, the New York Giants. I got them at 8-8 also in that glut with Washington and Dallas. I don't have the Giants making the playoffs.
You have them at what? Again?
I have them at 8-8.
So you have three teams at 8-8?
I have three teams at 8-8. I told you it was kind of godless.
And one at 7-9. Oh,
one
geez.
At 7-8. Yeah, and Philly I should have below 7-9, but I don't, and I'm gonna stay with it. I've second-guessed myself on that, but I'll stay with it. And again, for whatever reason, Vegas thinks I'm pretty close on that, which is incomprehensible because a lot of times I'm looking at Vegas going, what are you thinking? But they actually think
they've got nice hotels.
Yeah, they do.
They've got nice hotels. That's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
How's your territory coming, buddy?
Very nice. When you talk about dichotomies in the league between both sides of the ball, you don't have too many teams where it is as wide a chasm as it is with the Giants, who are going to be essentially reduced to trying to win every game 40-37. The thing is, they're going to win a fair number of them. You've got Eli Manning, who has, you know, when you give him the guy who I think is the best wide receiver in the league and the number one guy in the FantasyDraftHelp.com draft board this year in Odell Beckham Jr., you know, great things can happen. They've got a receiving core that's been beefed up even more through this offseason. So I think they're going to score a ton of points. By the way, great fantasy sleeper, I believe, Paul Perkins. I look for him to possibly emerge toting the rock by later of the year here for the Giants. And again, but you talk about teams, and this is the thing with Philly. They're not nearly in the same boat as Philly in terms of that. But one of the things that Chip Kelly wrought with that whole wrecking ball approach, you talked about it previously with Miami and particularly on defense, the whole thing about stars and scrubs.
Yes.
That's kind of how the Giants are.
Yeah,
I think that's why you and I don't like them more than we do, because you look at this. Doesn't this team scream stars and scrubs to you?
Yes, and if you remember, I picked them to win the East last year and was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, I think I'm going to be right this year.
Really?
Yeah. I'm picking the Giants to go 10-6 and win this division. And of all the picks I'm making this year, I think it's the one I feel the least good about.
Uh-huh.
This is a team, and this seems that this is the case every year.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Their metrics are so schizophrenic. I feel every year we talk about the Giants, it's a case where they could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
Their record in close games last year was 3-8. So
right.
They were a little unlucky, and that's a lot of close games to play, by the way.
That is.
They lost. This speaks to what you said about the way they're going to play this year, probably.
Mm-hmm.
There were three times they lost last year when scoring 30 or more points.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't speak well to the defense.
No.
Pythagorean wins was 7.5. They only won six games.
Okay.
So that's a big gap. Their point differential was only -22, despite the 6-10 record. That was better than the Eagles at 7-9, who, remember, were -53. But the Giants only outgained 4 of 16 opponents last year. They were -48.3 yards per game, which ranked 29th.
Mm-hmm.
So it really could go either way, can it? And you're going to rip me for this. You're absolutely going to rip me and call it one of those old wives' tales.
Okay.
Every year, one team really benefits from the coaching change. Right? I mean, how many have you ever heard that? ESPN always talks about it.
Yeah.
That how many years in a row has a team with a first-year coach made the playoffs? I think
right.
One year, maybe 2 years ago, it didn't happen.
Right.
But every other year in the last 10, it has.
Right.
I think Camp Coughlin was kind of just starting to wear out its welcome. And
I knew
it was getting stale. And with McAdoo coming in, it's a seamless transition. And I look at the other first-year coaches around this league. A lot of them are stepping in to pretty ugly situations.
Right.
We talked about Gase in Miami, Jackson in Cleveland.
Right.
You know, Mike Mularkey, I guess, is, you know, he was an interim last year. But you look at the other situations in the NFC with Peterson, who we don't like coming into Philly.
Right.
I know we're not going to like Chip Kelly in San Francisco. Dirk Cutter in Tampa Bay, I don't think so. So if you look at a first-year coach that can make an impact, I think it's McAdoo.
That's where I think it's an old wives' tale, because who's to say that this isn't a year where they all are in bad situations?
I mean, they
it could happen.
I mean, obviously, you know, if they were good teams,
yeah,
the job wouldn't have been open.
He's more likely. I'll give you that.
Right.
What I don't know in looking at him and in looking at the situation, I know that they like the football IQ that he brings. He comes out of that, you know, storied lineage in Green Bay. He was part of the McCarthy tree there. And I agree that Coughlin's whole thing had gotten stale. What I don't know is, because sometimes you get a little bit of substitute teacher syndrome the next year when you're coming out of a thing with a tough disciplinarian. So
I think they had tuned that act out.
They had, but it doesn't mean you're going to buy into the next guy. And I don't know enough about him at this point in time to know. Because a lot of guys are textbook brilliant, but as far as controlling a team, having the pulse of the team, whatever.
I admit I don't know. Sure, remember Shurmur, the way he coached? He would just be staring.
Pat Shurmur, yeah.
He would just be staring at his sheet the whole time.
Right.
And I was like, you know,
I don't think McAdoo's going to be that. You know, he's clearly not going to be that bad. But, yeah. I mean, I don't know enough about him to either tee off, you know, yes or no on that. I'll grant you he's more likely to have that happen than the others in the league here. So
5 straight years finishing between 6 and 9 wins for the Giants. Couple things. Can this team
a Jeff Fisher-esque stretch of mediocrity.
Yeah. Can this team go through a year without being the most injured team in the league? I believe they've led the league in injuries the last 2 years, if memory serves me correct. That's tough. They also don't draft particularly well. Remember what we said about Washington?
Right.
Again, I'm repeating myself, of course. You remember it. We said it 10 minutes ago, people.
Mm-hmm.
Sell short-term, buy long-term.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the Giants long-term. It may not be great, but short-term, I just think they're one of those teams that kind of just makes that big bump up and then maybe drops off. I just think it's kind of a one-off this year. I'm not buying the program long-term. I just think the division's kind of there for the taking. I have the Eagles dropping way off. I have the Redskins obviously declining, pardon me, Washington. So it's between them and, you know, Dallas is coming from a lower base, remember, where they're improving. They're coming from only 4 wins.
Right.
So
I'm trying to remember with the Giants. I think it was the first of their 2 Super Bowl wins in the last decade. It was Jerry Reese's first season as general manager, and they had a draft where all 7 guys – matter of fact, yeah, because Ahmad Bradshaw, I think, was one of them, and he's been in the league more than 4 or 5 years. So they had a first-year draft that was just absolutely amazing. All 7 guys played roles on that Super Bowl team, and you look at it, and it's just like – it's hard to draw any other conclusion other than he is the Ray Rhodes of general managers, because he has not followed up that first act. Their drafting has been Pepto-abysmal.
Football Outsiders rates them worst in drafting the last 5 seasons.
Yeah, and part of it is, too, I mean...
And that's with Odell Beckham, remember. Oh, speaking of receivers, here's a name. Sterling Shepard.
Right.
I watch a lot of college football. And I watched a lot of Oklahoma games.
I think he could make an impact with the Giants.
He was the best player on the field in some of those games. And he was a guy who didn't get a lot of talk coming into the draft at all. Yeah. I don't know if it was a case of just size or speed. But playing opposite Odell Beckham, I think he does have a chance to make an impact. The Giants, I agree with you totally. It's going to be a lot of they're going to be a fun team to watch.
Yes, they are.
It's going to be a lot of scoring. Remember, they lost that game to the Saints, 52-49 or whatever.
There could be another one like that.
Yeah, there could be. And I just think they'll win more than they lose, unlike last year where they kind of lost all those games.
Could very well be. And that's the thing, too, when you look at, again, the roster composition, and some of this goes back to, again, If JPP didn't have the kind of decision-making to where he's walking around throwing up a permanent gang sign with that hand, then, you know, things could be a little bit different there. So when we talk about the crappy drafting, that's a guy that was kind of all-world, at least in stretches,
why does
before
that be
he
a
went.
Gang sign? I don't know. Do you even know? I don't think that is the gang. I mean, you know.
I don't know. Can we get a burning car from the pose in front of us?
Okay, rude.
Yeah. By the way, Google it, folks. A Jack Kingston Donald Trump reference that I'm finding hilarious.
Something that's interesting, too, is, I mean, this doesn't really matter, but one of the Giants' scheduled 8 road games is a neutral site game in London against the Rams.
Okay.
So, you know, maybe a little help with the schedule there. Little help.
Could be, but again, I got them at the same record as Dallas, so clearly I don't find it ludicrous that they're going to win the division. I just don't see it being the case.
It's just, again, my theme as we go through the other divisions is actually going to be much more extreme with typically two teams being good and two teams not so much. There's one division where that may not be the case. But, you know, because I have Eagles worst-case scenario, I have the Cowboys and Giants improving leaps and bounds. So it works out, I think.
Okay.
I did not do the math to see if my win total comes out to whatever it's, 256 it's supposed to be.
As far as adding up all the divisions?
I have not done that yet. But, yeah, I'm going.
That is something I do. I add it up, like, by division, like, plus, minus for every division, and then I add them together to see.
I usually do that, and shame on me, I haven't. But, okay. I've got Giants and Cowboys both making it, man.
Wow.
When was the last time the NFC East sent two teams to the playoffs?
It's been a long time.
When was the last time the NFC East sent two teams to the playoffs? I just don't want there to be dead air.
We're not obligated to find this now before we conclude
the
division.
I think I'm going to.
Okay.
I think I'm going to. What a nice day it is today, Ricky, isn't it?
Yes.
There's only one trusted source I go to for an answer.
Pro Football Reference?
No, Wikipedia.
Oh.
it tends to have...
Kyle, you do know it's not like Ask Jeeves where you just type in, what was the last year we had two NFC East teams making the playoffs? You do know it doesn't work that way, right?
I already have the answer, smartass.
All right, what is it?
2009. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Dude, and I didn't even think it was that recent, to be honest with you. I thought
that's almost AFC East-esque.
Yeah.
Oh, these East Coast liberals typing these people, huh?
Yep. What does Hugh Hewitt call it? The Manhattan Beltway elite media?
New York values.
Yes. All right. Well, you see New York values coming out triumphant.
Oh, very good. Oh, let's take a look at their election. We didn't mention their win total. What is it? You picked them for 8 wins. I picked them for 10 wins.
8, yes. What's Vegas say? Vegas probably says above that, I'm guessing.
They're not going to have them above 10.
Not going to have them above 10, but they're going to have them above 8.
Nope, they've got them at 8.
8.5?
8.
Oh,
Shoot a juice. So, okay. Yeah, so I've got them a little. So I've got them over.
Right on it. All right, so I'm telling you to bet on green, folks, if they got them at 8. So that's how.
Wait a minute.
That's what I'm saying. So, all right, well, with Kyle believing that New York values will reign triumphant here, in the NFC East this year, much like the election, perhaps?
And Jerry Jones will overcome all that adversity and be a role model to all of those in the working class by pulling his bootstraps up this year and getting a wild card berth.
See, whereas I have it being a bounce-back autumn for all the Ted Cruz fans out there in Texas this year. They'll be able to rally behind their Cowboys. There's probably a substantial overlap on the typical Venn diagram between Cowboy fans and Ted Cruz fans, so... Fear not, everybody. It gets better, as a certain subsegment of society likes to say. So I got Dallas winning the division, and you got the Giants winning the division. We shall see.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.